can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Here, welcome back to Mondays Down Under on the Talking Pools Podcast, where I am joined by Lee on the East Coast and Shane in Auckland, New Zealand. How are you guys doing?
Living the dream over here, guys.
Hey, very good, guys.
That's the way. That's the way.
Summer is officially over, I think, today. It's howling out there. I think we're getting the tail end of Eastern Australia's bad weather that they had over there.
Yeah, we have had the cold snap the last couple of days, so actually had to break out the jumpers and we drove to Sydney over the last couple of days, and I actually had the seat heater on, but I'm a cold frog. So, yeah, it's definitely been feeling the chill, that's for sure. And let's face it, it's April. We're nearly halfway through April. It had to come at some time.
That's autumn.
It is, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, we're still waiting for the cool change. I think they forecast high 20s or something. I haven't been watching it. What we really need, though, is rain. I'm seeing a number of customers on the outskirts of the metro area. They don't have a water supply. It's all rainwater tanks, and they're starting to have to truck water in. The problem there we've seen with some of them is obviously the last bit of water they've got, they want to save that for showering and cooking and drinking. So we've had a few pools we've been out to, couldn't service them properly because they'd let the water level go down. And how do you tell someone, look, you've got to do this? And they say, look, we just can't get water in. There's some of them. One of them was telling me the other day there's about an eight-week wait to get a truck of water in.
That's crazy.
Which is, I don't know how that works, but that's what he was telling me. So I said, okay, well, call me for a green pool recovery in
Have you ever seen those contraptions? I think they were called the Dragonfly. Have you ever seen? They're like a floating skimmer box. So you attach them to your skimmer box. Yeah.
Your skimmer box with a short hose,
and it will lower as your water level lowers. And, of course, you need to make sure you have a good seal on it. The hose does go into your skimmer box, which obviously will then eventually be above water light level. So as long as you've got a good seal on it and it helps to put it directly into the actual suction point in the skimmer box, so unfortunately you are bypassing the basket. You can use your vac plate, but the problem with the vac plate is that often they do suck air, so you need to make sure you've got a good seal on that if you are going to use your vacuum plate, and then obviously you can use your skimmer basket. But they were really good. Years and years back when New South Wales went through a pretty bad drought situation, they were pretty good. They were a good alternative anyway and allowed you to keep the circulation up. And the other thing is, this is where the robotic pool cleaners come into play too, is that you can actually put them in to help circulate and filter the water. Mm. They're obviously not going to do anywhere near the job that your sand filter, your cartridge filter, et cetera, is going to do. But it's turning the water over. You can manually add some chlorine and try and keep that green at bay and give yourself the best chance you can of keeping that pool clean, but it is hard.
Mm. No, robotic cleaners can be helpful. I've got a couple of them who do have robotic cleaners, and I do recommend to do that. Have a floating chlorine dispenser, you know, floating tablet dispenser, and I say, look, your pool's not going to be pristine, but it's going to help see you through it a little bit longer till the rain starts. But this Dragonfly one, I've not seen that type. I've seen similar things, not that particular one. Just looked it up.
So you just pulled it up and can have a look at it online. Yeah. I think years ago they were actually distributed by Poolright.
Poolright, okay.
Yeah, that was, I think, they were the original distributors way back when. But, yeah, I had actually had a customer that didn't have a skimmer box and was really struggling. They just had the two suction points and was really struggling with skimming the surface of their pool, and they actually set this up on one of their suction points and it really helped them. Made a huge difference to the cleanliness of their pool because it still was drawing in the leaves and that. So,
every day's a school day.
Yeah, that it is. Yeah. Lee was saying earlier, after seeing some interesting big commercial facilities yesterday, it doesn't matter how long you've been doing this, no matter how much you think you know, there is always more to learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Learning constantly and regularly is so, so important.
And so many new things happening. So like I was saying about, and we'll go into this in another podcast, but the cold pool revolution and these chilled pools now, and how different the water needs are and how it affects the equipment. So that's, a whole nother podcast. So we won't go there today.
No, we won't. Where we will go, however, is not directly pool related, but you'll see how we think it's relevant. Shane, New Zealand, how's the economy doing there, mate?
Not too great, to be quite honest. So over the last, 6 months, country's been in recession. There is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but it's still early days at the moment. So I guess, what goes up must come down. We've had a few very, very good seasons in the swimming pool industry. So this is our third summer in business. We started when over here they called it the official cash rate, basically the interest rate. Everything's very low. People were spending like crazy. I'm sure they were in a lot of the world during COVID. And things were booming. So as a lot of people say, things have been normalizing over the last 18 months. And there's a lot of job losses over here. There's a lot of uncertainty in regards to a lot of industries, whether they're still going to be, still in business, whether a lot of people's jobs are safe, where does that kind of leave, people like myself in the industry, very new to business, as I said, I'm three seasons in. What would be the best way to kind of, approach a situation like this?
Yeah.
I thought of asking your opinions. You've got roughly 55 years experience between yourselves. I'm sure you've seen different cycles in Australia that you've got through. You're both still smiling,
what a good day.
So obviously everything went very well. But
that's a very, very good point. First of all, the term recession, yes, there's a definition to it, economic downturn. I hate the term negative growth, okay? It's a downturn. And if that lasts two consecutive quarters, it's deemed a recession. However, politicians, especially the government, who's in power at the time, they like to avoid the word recession because nobody wants to hear it from them. Then you've got the media, and some of the media likes to use the word recession because somehow they like putting people in fear. So it's one of those things, the more you talk about how the sky is falling, the more people are going to panic about it. We have had plenty of downturns, though. Now, in Australia, we're not in a technical recession. The only thing that seems to be keeping us out of it, which, as far as I've been able to read, is immigration. We have a lot of migrants coming into Australia, and, of course, they're spending money, and that's the only thing that's really keeping it afloat. If you look at it per capita, then, economy's in decline. And as you said, it has to happen because COVID was such a boom people were spending, people couldn't travel. Mm. They couldn't go overseas. You know, so places like Bali, which is island in Indonesia, for those who don't know, major Australian tourist destination, that went dead over COVID. People spending their holiday money here. So I saw in my business, and Lee, you would have seen the same in yours, I'm sure, suddenly sales went through the roof and people were replacing equipment and upgrading equipment and getting extra stuff done.
Holidaying in their own backyard.
Yeah, nesting. They're building up their own nest for what they saw as a difficult time, and rightly so. What I found, though, is over the last, how long has it been, Lee, that the government or the Reserve Bank's been increasing interest rates? So is it 13 rises over 18 months or something?
Yeah, it's been pretty consistent, hasn't it?
A lot of interest rate rises, so people pay more to their home loans. They no
very
longer
small
had so
rises,
much.
But
very when you small, put 13 or so of them together, it adds up.
Yeah.
Mm. And that took out of people's disposable income. So this season, I've noticed that, yes, while I'm selling record numbers of some equipment, there's a fair few people, quite a lot of people, who are, firstly, they're going for repair rather than replacement. You know, yes, replace the bearings in my pump, not rather than a complete new pump, things like that. Robotic cleaners, no, sales on those are down at the moment. We're selling quite a few suction cleaners, but fewer robotic cleaners. Part of that is the cost of them. And the other thing is an increase in the number of battery-operated, so cordless robotic cleaners, especially some available online, of extremely varying quality from what I've seen of them.
Did you see the photos of that burnt out one in the US?
No, I'll have to look that up.
Somebody posted, I think it was on the Master Pool text page on Facebook.
Right.
One of the well-known ones that are being branded around, actually completely burnt out and nearly set fire to the technician's customer's house. So that's being branded around at the moment. And I think it really goes to show the quality of them.
I'll have to have a look at that. The other thing is, if it's got a lithium battery, and it doesn't matter if it's a cleaner or a I've got lithium batteries for my cordless power tools, or if it's a bloody, I don't know, Tesla or something, if you keep it hooked up to the charger after it's fully charged, that increases the risk of fire. And I'm told that's in the charger. So an electrician I use quite a lot, does a lot of insurance work, and he said he just can't believe the amount of house fires he has to look at, which was started by a lithium battery charger. So don't leave your devices plugged in overnight and forget about it. Make sure you do check it, you know, when it reasonably could be expected to be charged. But, yeah, so people are, A, going for repair, not replacement. B, people are going for cheaper alternatives. And C, some people just aren't spending so much money generally. You know, we need to look after our pool servicing ourselves. Can we stop the regular service until the economy improves? For a variety of reasons. I'm also seeing more and more people taking longer to pay their accounts. And, of course, if trades such as us take longer to receive money, that can sometimes put you in a situation where it takes you longer to pay your suppliers. And God forbid taking longer to pay your staff. That's one thing I don't negotiate on. Paying staff wages is the absolute priority. You don't want your first of all, they put the work in, they've earned their pay, they get paid. B, you don't want them to say, oh, the cheapskate's not paying me, and walking out.
Absolutely.
So there's only once I've ever been late with making a wages payment. Our guy's payday is on Friday, and we're in the workshop, went to pay his account, the bank was offline. on a Friday afternoon immediately before a long weekend. Everyone with that bank, no business with that bank, were able to pay their staff until I think I got through at about 11, 11.30 that night. So, yeah. But I just called my guy in and said, look, I've got to show you this. Showed him there and said, the bank is offline. And, of course, there's no branches worth speaking of to go into a bank branch very much anymore. But I think they were affected too. So they're the main ways that I see it affecting things. How about you, Lee?
Oh, look, over the 25 years that we're in retail and service, I certainly saw some downturns. But fortunately, I think it's like anything. We've been through economic downturns. We've been through bushfires. We've been through droughts. We've been through floods. We've been through COVID. Like, really, if there's we've tackled it all over those 25 years. The only thing I haven't officially had was a recession, because if you look at the actual definition of a recession, Australia hasn't had one in 28 years, and I've been in business for 25 years, so I was lucky in that respect. But, look, definitely periods of economic downturn, definitely periods where the media had really talked the economy down and had people scaremongering, like really had people worried. But I think it's like anything. It's like winter is coming. If you prepare for winter, if you prepare for that economic downturn, forewarned is forearmed. You need to look at it the same way. Don't be proactive, not reactive. And then that way you'll actually come out of it a lot better at the other side. I suppose in some ways some of our clients, like there was a time in Australia and I'm sure in the US and New Zealand, it could be said the same, that if you had a pool, you were quite an affluent community. You had money. And so, therefore, people who had pools could afford to look after them. But let's face it, in a recession, everybody tightens their belt to some degree. And some people are rich because they don't like spending money. Let's face it. So,
yeah.
But absolutely. I think, yeah, it's very true. But I'll never forget, I actually had a fellow come into our shop one day and was whinging about the price of a skimmer basket. And I looked at him and I said, Peter, his name was Peter, I said, Peter, you're driving the Mercedes, not me. So clearly yeah. There's an imbalance here. But anyway, but I think there's a few things that you can do to prepare your business and prepare yourself. First and foremost, you need to look at your track history of paying your bills and how your relationship with your suppliers. If you pay, and it's just as the same way we look at our clients who pay us, if you have somebody that is has been a good client for many, like several years, has always paid their bill on time, and they come to you and they go, hey, I'm going through a bit of a tight spot, been laid off at work, or my hours have been reduced, or I'm trying to refine my budget. How can we work through this together? I don't want to lose your services. Then you can come to an agreement. And it might be that instead of servicing at the pool every 4 weeks, you do it every 6, or you do it every 8. Or you say to them, okay, let's put your service on hold, but come into the shop and just buy the chemicals, something like there's a multitude of things that you could talk to them about how to address that. And it's the same with your suppliers. So if you go to your supplier and you say, hey, look, things are a bit tight, business has turned down, I'm sure there's quite a few people going through it, but I've always been a good client, I've always paid my bill on time, and I will pay my bill, I just need a little extra time, or I need a little extra extension on my buying capabilities. They'll be more receptive to you if you've had a great relationship leading up to that. So I think that's why it's always important to maintain those relationships as well as you can. Certainly tightening your belt as a business owner, looking at where you can save money, and excluding your staff, of course, because you want to retain them and keep them. But looking where you say it can save money is I think we all get a bit complacent. It's like those electricity bills and maybe your health insurance and that sort of thing that you don't compare. Maybe we need to do the comparing. Maybe we need to look at how much are we paying for our electricity for our business? How much are we paying for our phone account? Even how much are we paying for our goods that we're buying from our suppliers, and can we get them cheaper elsewhere, or can we talk to them about negotiating a better buying price? Try and save some dollars there. But I think there's things you can do from your customer side of things too to help boost business. We know people are going to be struggling to spend money, or they may be struggling to be so inclined to spend their money on their pool, especially going into winter, let's face it. We could offer cheaper alternatives. So instead of only offering that high-end pump, still trying to look for a good quality unit, of course, because we always want to align ourselves with good branding, but maybe is there a cheaper alternative we can look at? Is something repairable instead of jumping for a replacement? Things like that to help the client. Also rewarding return business. So encouraging them to come back in more frequently. Prevention is cheaper than cure. We all know that. Looking after your pool on a regular basis is going to cost you less in the long term. Yep. So working out how to sell that to the client is really important. And we were talking before about payments, maybe potentially offering a discount for quick payments. We're all going into winter. This is the time that we normally do our price reviews. So we might be less inclined to increase our prices next year or for the next season, but maybe you actually do increase them. And then you go, but if you pay within 5 days of your account being issued, or if you sign up for a direct debit, we'll keep you at X price or we'll give you X discount. And it might mean that you're just retaining your current price, but you're getting paid quicker. Might be a way of looking at it.
Yes. Yeah, I like that idea, actually.
So, yeah, different things that you can do like that, that can really help things along.
Another thing that's really good, and I do this leading up to the off season each year, but equally valuable when it looks like things are going to slow down, don't carry so much stock.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of summer, busy summer, I'll fill the warehouse or the workshop with pumps, filters, auto cleaners, chlorinators. I'll get a heap of them in because I know I'm going to sell them fairly quickly. And take advantage in those situations of any bulk discount prices.
Early buys.
One distributor that I have, one supplier, for certain items, he restocks at a particular time of year. He needs to empty any stock out of his warehouse so he's got room for the containers to come in. He'll sometimes say, right, we can do this lot at a discounted price. And it's all stuff that sells. There was one company offered that recently, and they were just trying to offload their junk. I don't know if they actually sold any at a discount. They weren't selling them at the best of times, so I don't know if maybe they just needed to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But, this time of year coming into towards winter, I don't carry three of each standard model pump, for example, or five of each standard model pump that I regularly supply. I might carry one, maybe two, because that's money that's in the bank account, not money that's in a box sitting on a shelf waiting for someone to want to buy it.
Yep. And the thing is, too, you can actually pre-advertise or pre-promote work or sales without actually holding the stock. So if you go to your supplier and you say to them, if I do a promotion, let's say you want to do a promotion on filter media changes for winter, which was a common one that we would do. So we would actually, filters were, and probably are for a lot of businesses, a great opportunity through winter to get this work done. They're a good labor source for a sand change or for a filter replacement. And so I would actually go to a supplier and go, okay, I'm looking at doing this promotion. What can you offer me? And it might be for every filter that I buy, they actually give me my media, or it might be for every filter I buy, they'll upgrade the quality of the filter because I'm doing a promo, and then I can pass that on to my supply, my clients. So I then tailor my marketing or my sales to align with that offer, but it doesn't mean that I have to buy 20 filters to get that offer.
No.
I can order it as the orders are coming in from the clients, and then that way I'm not overstocking. So that's a really good one. But filters are great because you can market a filter degrease on a cartridge filter, a filter degrease on a sand filter.
Media filter.
Then you can upsize to a media change, and then you can upsize from there to a filter replacement with new media. So you can go through the different stages. So filters are a fantastic winter income source. And you generally know, I used to say to my techs at this time of the year, I used to actually give them a sheet and say, okay, these are your clients for the day, and this is actually what I want you to check on their pools for this winter. Like, are there pumps? Do they need, we should know anyway, but do they need a mechanical seal? Are the bearings not noisy? Making sure of those things. But then their filters, like how long has it been since their last filter media change? Are they showing signs that they need their backwashing and rinsing more frequently? Or are their cartridges looking manky? And then using that as a marketing opportunity. And that was always a great source because we have a large client base at our fingertips. Now, that was just on our regular service run. On our database that we had in the shop, we would send out an email or an SMS or something like that that actually tailored that to them. And it might be booking for a sand change, we'll upgrade you to glass for free. If you were happy making that profit on that sand, and the glass and the profit you would make on the glass might be slightly more, but as long as you were making exactly the same profit margin, it doesn't matter what one it is, as long as you're getting one and you're not losing. I would go, okay, we'll price you for sand, but we'll upgrade you to glass for free. So it's value adding. They love it. Or replace your filter and your media, like new filter, media, new filter. We'll give you a $100 chemical voucher. Now, that's a $100 voucher in store, but we all know what the chemicals cost us. We're still it's not going to cost us $100. It's going to cost us a lot less, and it's getting that customer back in the door. You could put a 3-month or 4-month limit on that voucher because it's not a gift voucher per se, like you need to have a definite length of or a longer length of time on it. This is a value add, so the laws around that are different. And it's an in-store credit that's available for 3 months or 4 months. And then that way it's a winter thing. You're going to get them in the door through winter.
Another thing is parts that need replacing. Squeeze tubes, acid feeder tubes, chlorine feeder tubes, anything like that. This is the time of year that I focus on that. Normally when it cools off, but that's yet to happen. Because that's another job you can do. How long does it take to change a acid feeder tube and a squeeze tube in a peristaltic pump? Not a huge job.
But they need to be done.
It needs to be done, and there is a little bit of money in it. So it's looking for the opportunities when times are hard. How can I bring in this income when previously I couldn't?
And you're not selling the client something they don't need. You're only – it is something they need, It's preventative maintenance. Yeah. It's what we do anyway. But and selling it to them that way, I'm not selling you something you don't need. If you don't do this and your tube splits and you've got acid spraying around in your plant room, what's that going to do? It's going to cost you a lot more, could potentially hurt you or your kids or that sort of thing. Not that you want to scare them, but it's that prevention thing. So I would actually say to our listeners, sit down and write down a list and just brainstorm. Even get your staff to do it. It's a great thing to do as a team. Brainstorm and sit down and go, okay, what are the things that we sort of overlook? And I don't like saying that because I would hope that all my staff would constantly be on the look, but we all do it. We're busy. We just in a hurry to get to the next job, and there's probably things we should note that we don't. But getting them to sit down and write, okay, what are the things that you notice that need to be replaced or repaired at people's pools generally? And then make a list of those and then pick the ones that you want to concentrate on. It might be that, have you ever actually gone up and done a solar inspection on a solar heating system?
Mm.
There's a great source of income for you. Like, especially towards the end of winter when those solar systems are being turned on, actually getting a technician up on the roof to run the system and check it for leaks. And while they're up there, get them to measure it so that especially if it's old, get them to measure it so you can actually give them a quote to replace it down the track. You don't have to get back up on that roof. Take the opportunity when things are quiet to get that sort of thing done. But preventative maintenance, the amount of roofs over the years, and Peter, you're probably the same, that we've seen that have rusted out because the clients neglected realizing that trickling sound down their gutter pipe was actually salty water sitting up on their roof for the last year or so, and it's rusted a bloody great hole in their roof that's then caused a lot of damage to their house, all could have been prevented with an $88 inspection or a $110 inspection.
Yeah.
Easy.
I did an inspection a few weeks ago on a pool. A guy was buying the pool, and he's had me out for a handover instruction session, bought some stuff off me and got me on the regular list. And I'm telling you now, it won't be long till his pump's completely stuffed. So, and I've told him this at the inspection. But the funny thing there was I went to test the solar heating system, and the previous owner was there watching every move I made. And so I turned on this solar system. The solar collector was leaking so badly, it was almost like there was a bloody water feature on his roof. There were about four spots it was spraying. It was like there were laminars coming off his roof. It's like, that's not how that's meant to work, buddy.
No.
He said, oh, we never use it anyway. I said, probably a good thing in this condition.
Yeah. And that's a case where prevention is so much cheaper than the cure. Like, it's the potential on damage that problem is causing, like, is can be massive when it comes to a leak on a solar system, so easily fixed. It's about creating those things to look for, the things to promote, and help one make money when maybe in economic downturn, but two, make money through winter, and now is the time. Winter is upon us, guys.
But there's also another thing that I think needs to be mentioned. I think I've said before, ages ago, when I started this business, because I was still cleaning up the last business when we sold that and getting the factory all cleaned out and everything, I couldn't start trading until the beginning of January. So I'd lost the very lucrative spring and early summer. Yep. So I did things other than pools. Don't be too proud to diversify. Now, obviously, wherever you are in this world, you need to check local requirements for anything like licensing or so forth. Check your insurance policy. Make sure all the bases are covered. But one of the things I did was stain removal. People who had rust stains on their paving in their backyards. It's not that far removed from removing stains in a pool. So just a little bit of familiarity with maybe a couple of chemicals that come in a different form. Make sure you know your stuff. But, offer to remove stains. I did pressure washing. There was one job I did when things were very tight, and I went through their yard, a very small courtyard on a unit. But I was there, had the knee pads on. I was pulling weeds out of their paving, went through brushing cobwebs, swept up the yard to clean it, pressure washed it. They had a timber outdoor table. I repaired that because it was wonky. I oiled that stuff. All of this stuff is things I knew how to do. Tried to remove an oil stain from their garage floor, but that had been sitting there so long it was ingrained in there. But there's no shame in that. If you need to bring money in and you're both technically and legally able to do it, go for it. I've mounted washing clothes dryers onto walls. I've restrung the cables on clotheslines outdoors, you know, the Hill's Hoist type things. And, yeah, that can help. You know, sure, it might only be a very low-cost job, but it's a job. It's better than sitting on your backside, twiddling your thumbs, getting all depressed, thinking, what do I do?
Yeah. There's a multitude of things that you can look at. I know over the years we looked at, okay, how could we expand our business? Because we thought, okay, we need more technicians on board, but then we need to be able to give them work to get them through winter, because I was a firm believer in employing my staff full time 12 months of the year. We didn't have seasonal staff. And we looked at lots of different things. And so we actually looked at installing pool fencing. So looked at pool fencing suppliers, obviously building pool equipment sheds, whether that be in kit form, which are readily available through our industry, and again, another great revenue source. What else did we look at? Oh, leak detection. This is something you talked about, Shane, the other week.
Another thing, flat-packed furniture. Do you know how many people buy stuff from IKEA without a clue how to do it? And who hates the stuff? It's the easiest thing in the world to do, and especially during off season when it's lousy weather outside, you're indoors. That's a novelty for us most of the time.
Yes, yeah. But I would say to people, if financially, like you're creeping along, you're doing okay, but you are twiddling your thumbs, is use this time wisely. And that's the big thing with COVID. Businesses that did well were the ones that used the time wisely. Obviously, a lot of us did well because busy time with people staying at home more and spending more money on their pools and that, instead of traveling overseas or interstate or whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, we all found ourselves with more time. And time is the one thing we can't get back. So if we use that time wisely to plan for the coming season, to plan changes that are in our business, put marketing programs in place, maybe revamp your website, clean out your database. That would be the number one thing I would say to people. Use that time to clean your database out. That is a gold mine right there, is your database. That, if that is up to date, you know you can send everybody out a letter, an email, or a text message, whatever it might be. They are part of your audience. And, yes, the customer may have moved, but the pool hasn't, so we know the address has still got a pool. There's multitudes of ways we can use that information if it's current. If it's not current, it's worthless. So if you do nothing else over the winter, fix your database.
You've been told.
It's funny you should say that, Lee, because somebody mentioned that to me last week. They asked if you got a CRM.
That's just a fancy term for database.
Customer resource.
That's all this to do.
Well, do you have your customers in a water analysis program, Shane, that you use, or
not a water analysis program? I have got one. I actually installed it on my phone when we bought mm-hmm. the Spin Touch. It's our chemical supplier. They've
yep.
made their own, which interlinks with each other. I did have a crash course with my supplier. And it yet we I haven't implemented yep. it, to be honest with you. I haven't really had time to run through the nitty-gritty of it. But one thing that I did notice is it was more to do with water chemistry rather mm-hmm. than water balance. Mm. So yeah. I mean whether we use it in the future.
Yeah, well sure. Look, there's a number of different ones around, and a lot of chemical suppliers have their own. But I think the more information you can put into them, the more valuable they are. So I would really look for a quality program that you can put a lot of information in. And our listeners will soon become familiar with a particular company yes. who will remain anonymous at the moment. But good things come to those who wait. So wait patiently, folks. You'll hear all about it soon. But that information is just so valuable. I would actually say even information that you put in it that isn't there, and by that sounds funny, but I'm actually more interested in who doesn't have a blanket roller, who doesn't have a robotic cleaner, who doesn't have heating. Yes, I want to know what they have if they've got it, but I mm-hmm. also want to know if they don't have it. Because, Shane, you think about it. If your database tells you, if you type in, you go, I want to see everybody who doesn't have a heating system, and it spat you out a list of 50 clients that don't have a heating system, what can you do with that information? You can sell them all heating. Yeah,
it's very valuable.
Yeah. And blanket encourage them to replace their blanket when they get the heating yep. because their current one's leaving blue dots everywhere.
That's exactly right.
Seriously.
Yes. Or even like there's pools that don't have blanket and rollers. Same thing. Mm. Pools that don't have a pool cleaner, whether that be robotic or suction. A pool that doesn't have an energy efficient pump because they've only got a single speed pump. You want to just mm-hmm. you want to know what they don't have, just as much as you want to know what they do have, because that's your saleable yes. market. And also information like, and not always are we going to know this information, but the more we can put in it when we do know, the better. And that is, when was the media last changed in the filter? When was the cartridge last changed in the filter? Mm. Those sort of things, hugely valuable to us in selling and marketing to those clients. And it's such an untapped resource. And when I see I've got clients that I've taken on board and looked at their database and just about died with the thousands of clients that are in those databases, and then seen the amount of double ups or incomplete information in them, which really then renders them quite invaluable because you can't use that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you then really need to spend the time to clean it out and make it valuable, and it is worth every single cent of yep. that time that you spend on it. Absolutely.
So, Shane, does that give you a few pointers? You're going to be a busy lad.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, no, it's needed, definitely. I mean, we are starting to see a little bit of a lull in the daylight savings. Ended now, it's getting darker mm-hmm. early, it's cooler, the weather's certainly changed, so you know, our list that we need to do back office is every time we have a podcast actually is growing and growing and growing. So I think my winter is actually going to be busier yeah. than my summer, but we'll see, you know. So there is lots to do. And yeah, you know, when you're in business, is always yep. you're always learning. Yep. You know, you every day, every week, every month, you know, you're learning something new in business. And if you want to grow, yep. you've got to learn.
Even if you want to stay, even if you have no desire for growth, but you want to stay where you're at, you still need to learn to keep up with the pace.
Yeah, and
things are changing so fast.
Yeah, and not only that, you can yes. always improve your efficiencies. You may not want to grow. You may not want to get bigger. You might just be happy with the base of clientele that you've got. but you can deliver it so much better and be so much more efficient, which then gives you back more time and makes things a little more effortless. And then you enjoy it more. So you can always improve. We're always striving to improve. That's life.
That it is.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Hope we didn't talk too much. Just noticed we're approaching 45 minutes here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope you got something out of that. Any questions, queries, any suggested topics you'd like to hear discussed, please send us an email to talkingpools@gmail.com. But in the meantime, hope it all goes well for you out there this week. Stay safe. Make lots of money. Baru.
See you guys.
See ya.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the pool people's body. Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.